There's so many lessons for us to learn from this story. And it's much more than a story, but here's the first thing we can learn. The sovereign providence and purpose of God Almighty in the life of Joseph. Oh, God's providence, His sovereignty in it, the purpose of God in the life of Joseph, bringing him to be a shepherd boy, Hebrew shepherd boy, and then taking him into Egypt, and then raising him up to be on the throne and to have control over everything in Egypt. And oh my, God ruled. Here's the thing about God. This thing about His providence. God rules. That's what providence means. It means to govern things. And God ruled and overruled all events, all creatures, and all their actions, everything that they did to accomplish His will and His purpose toward Joseph. I tell you, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, God in His blessed sovereign providence, raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, raised Him up to be ruler over this world and everything that's in it. And He overrules all creatures, all actions, and everything that happens in this world for His elect and His elect only. And God's sovereignty was not only over men, not only over all the men, but over the weather. He controlled the weather. And He controlled the crops. He controlled the heathen nations. And He even controlled men's dreams and gave them dreams that only Joseph could interpret. And oh, and here's another thing too. Oh, what a lesson here. The faithfulness of Joseph. The safe faithfulness of Joseph. Oh, he loved God, he served God, and he knew God. And he had the greatest trials. He had the greatest adversity. And he had the awfulest surroundings. And yet in all of those things, Joseph walked with God. And he, in those trials and adversities and things that went on in his life, God made him faithful, gave him an abundance of grace. But he walked with God. And he maintained a strong, strong testimony to truth. Strong testimony to grace. And even he lived in a heathen nation. A heathen nation. And Joseph glorified God and blessed him in all that he did. But this story, it boils down to this. This is the long and short of it. This entire story, as like in all the rest of the scriptures, is given to us to praise, honor, and bless our Lord Jesus Christ and to reveal Him and His blessed redemptive work. I read it to you Sunday morning when our Lord Jesus said, beginning at Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, He opened their understanding to the scriptures and all things concerning Himself. He said, these things speak about me. Ought not Christ to have suffered to enter into His glory? So everything in this is about our Lord Jesus Christ. And during the 7 years of famine, Joseph had rule over. He said, Pharaoh said, you take care of the crops. You take care of what's necessary to be done. And Joseph supervised all the crops. And he filled the storehouses, filled them up. And when that famine came over the land, it says that Joseph opened the storehouses. Look what it said. Ain't that what it says there? Verse 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses. And all the people who ever came to Joseph was people who was hungry. And you know, and here's the thing about it. All the food was prepared before anybody ever got hungry. Christ was prepared before anybody even knew they had a need. Before they ever knew that they would be hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Here's the first thing about our Lord Jesus Christ and Joseph being a type of Him. Joseph opened the storehouses by royal authority. Pharaoh said, Joseph, and he told him, he said, now, put him in his chariot and gave him his ring and put a big chain around his neck and said, everybody bow to Joseph, everybody bow to Joseph. And Pharaoh gave all things, all authority, and all the food into the hands of Joseph. And when people came to Pharaoh, he sent them to Joseph. He sent them to Joseph. And by God's royal decree, God's decree, by God's blessed design, all things pertaining to life, pertaining to salvation, pertaining to mercy, pertaining to grace, pertaining to heaven, God put everything into the hands of His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. And our Lord Jesus Christ is said again, thou hast given Him power, authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God gave Him everything into His hand. You want mercy? It's in His hands. Grace is in His hands. Life is in His hands. I tell you, the Scripture says that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the Scriptures tells us that He is the head of all principalities and powers. It's by Him all things exist, and by Him all things consist, and by Him all things are upheld, and He is the head of all principalities and powers. And what did God put in His hands? All spiritual blessings. That's what He put in His hands. All fullness that we need, God put in His blessed hands. Where did He put it at? In His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And why did He do it? It pleased God. It was the good pleasure of His Father's will. That's what it is. Oh, listen. Joseph had all the authority. God gave Christ all the authority. And men are going to one of these days rule the day. Will rule the day that they miss the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they'll rule the day that they didn't take the Lord Jesus Christ as the Bible describes Him. Here's the second thing about Joseph. Joseph was the only fit person to open the storehouses. He was the only fit person to open the storehouses. Joseph was the one who told them there's going to be a famine. Nobody else didn't know it. Pharaoh didn't know it. The wise men didn't know it. The magicians didn't know it. You know who told them it's going to happen? Joseph did. Joseph did. And I tell you what, he told them, beloved, he told them, said, we're going to have 7 years of plenty. This is what we're going to do. And I tell you, Joseph went out and gathered all the corn and stored it up in storehouses all over. And oh, bless His holy name. Our Lord Jesus is the only fit and qualified man and the only fit and qualified one to open the storehouse of mercy to sinners like ourselves. Anybody else fit to do it? And ain't you grateful? Ain't you grateful that He's fit? Aren't you grateful He's qualified and the only one qualified to open the storehouse of mercy to sinners? And I tell you something. Before God ever put Adam in the Garden of Eden, our Lord Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I tell you, He knew that Adam was going to fall. He knew that there would be a famine of you in the human nature. The human nature had absolutely nothing in it good. There was a famine in the soul, a famine in the mind, a famine in the heart. There's a famine about every man had nothing. Nothing. And I tell you, beloved, He saw this famine in human nature, and He knew to fall. And then God, in His blessed mercy, purposed an everlasting covenant of mercy Oh my. The everlasting covenant of mercy. Paul told the Hebrews, he says, that God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, brought him again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And I tell you what, Christ sealed that everlasting covenant with His blood. And that covenant is just like God. It started with Him who's everlasting. It's everlasting now, and it'll be everlasting throughout eternity. I tell you, that Lord Jesus Christ, He sealed that covenant with His precious blood. And I tell you, He done that so He could show mercy. Show mercy. And a people could be saved from Adam's fallen race. And I tell you, had not God provided this for us, we'd have been like everybody else. We didn't have nowhere to go. Wouldn't it be awful to know the need that you have and be hungry and know the need of your soul and not have no one to go to get meet that need? And then in this everlasting covenant, talking about Joseph being the only fit person. Christ is the only fit, and the only one qualified to open the storehouse of mercy to sinners. He came to earth, and because of this everlasting covenant of mercy and grace, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, He came into this earth. And He came into this earth and assumed the likeness of sinful flesh. When you looked at Him, He looked just like anybody else. When you saw Him, you saw a man. But He was so much more than just a man. He was the God-man. He come on here and He looked like flesh. And He was flesh. He was flesh and blood. But He had no sin. Born of a virgin. God's blessed Son. And our Lord Jesus Christ come into this world in the likeness of human flesh. And He come here one reason. To face God and deal with God on behalf of those that were given to Him in that everlasting mercy of grace. I tell you what, He come to fulfill all righteousness and to take God's holy law and to face it head on and render obedience to it. And then, beloved, because of the ones He represented, He was willing and able to take the curse that was due them. And that curse of God, cursed is everyone who continueth not all things written in the book of the law to do. That was all of us. And Christ stood as our surety. And He obeyed that law. So all of us, whom He came to die for and live for, every one of us might have a righteousness of God Himself. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. And the only way you can get a righteousness before God is keep His law. Keep the Ten Commandments. We didn't. Christ did. And He turned around and gave us His righteousness. I was talking to Todd today. And he told me about a preacher, famous preacher, that he was preaching what Todd was going to preach out of Ephesians 6 on the whole armor of God and that breastplate of righteousness. Todd said, I heard this preacher preach this. I was listening to him, and he says that this breastplate of righteousness is our own personal purity. It's our own purity, and all that armor of God is that we might live a victorious life. I would get no comfort in that. Having a personal purity of my own, how can you have a greater purity than Christ? What's the purpose of Christ coming if we had any purity at all? What's the purpose of Christ coming if we had any righteousness at all? I said, Todd, write him. Send him a letter. Write him. Get on his web page. And he said, write him a letter and tell him what a mess he made out of things and how it offended you. He said, I'm going to do that. He said, I believe I can do that. So I'm sure I hope he did. That's an awful thing. And this fellow's supposed to be a grace preacher. How can we talk about our righteousness and the righteousness of Christ? How can you talk about Christ obeying the law and then us having being obeying the law? How can they both be right at the same time? What glory does Christ get out of us if He didn't do it all? What glory would God get out of it if Christ didn't do it all? And if righteousness ever come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But Paul said, we ain't going to frustrate the grace of God. We're not going to do that. We're not going to make it void. We're not going to do that. He said, I'll tell you one thing we're going to do. We're going to glory, we're going to honor, we're going to magnify, we're going to bless God for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He said. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ, He came before God's law, fulfilled all righteousness for us, and then He went to the cross in this covenant of mercy. And on that cross, He bore the burden, He bore the guilt, He bore the shame, He bore the curse, He bore the sin, He bore the failures, He bore everything that was against His people. And He was raised again from the dead to justify all of God's people, justify us in God's sight. And I tell you what, and He filled the storehouse. Our Lord done all, listen, He filled the storehouse. He filled God's storehouse. Oh, God's storehouse is plumb full. Plumb full. Was it full of grace? Was it full of mercy? Was it full of righteousness? Was it full of forgiveness? Was it full of everything that I need? Everything that I need. Oh my. It's like His disciples. And oh my, all those who came to Joseph's feet, they had to come to Him. And if you want mercy and grace, you got to come to Christ. It's like His disciples, a whole bunch turned and walked with Him no more. And He said, do you all go away? And it's like the rest of us. We say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. And I'll tell you something about our blessed Savior. He's the only one who has the capacity and the ability to contain all the fullness of God Almighty. Oh, He's the only one that can contain all of God in His body. The fullness of all that God is dwelt in our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but He's the only one who has the wisdom to give out the fullness of God. Only one got the wisdom to give it out. And the only one who has the eternality to continue to be our fullness in the world and in the world to come. You know, He fills us full here. We have of His fullness have we received. And when we get to glory, it's still going to be His fullness. Still going to be His fullness. Things ain't going to change. We're just going to change geographical places and have a new body. But we're going to still be filled with His fullness. Oh my. No wonder Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. And oh, listen, not only was Joseph and our Lord Jesus Christ the only fit and qualified one to open a storehouse of mercy for sinners, Joseph did open the storehouses. Look what it said again there in 56, verse 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in all the land. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the land. You know, Joseph opened the storehouses. And you know why he opened them? Because he had them full. He had it full. You know why God opened the storehouse? It's full. It's full. That's why He filled the storehouses. So people might have something to eat. that the people might have something to eat. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ became our surety. Our surety. And our sin offering. And our sacrifice. That sinners might be saved by His blessed grace. You know, when we talk about Christ being our surety, you know, a surety is for people who are incompetent. Incompetent. Have no ability to take care of their own affairs. Who have no ability to do anything for themselves. And if they have a great debt, they have no ability to pay that debt. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is our surety. And I meet every one of those things that I just mentioned. I'm incompetent to face God on my own. I'm unable to face God on my own. I'm unable to save myself. I'm unable to do anything for myself. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ said. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Huh? And He said, except it were given to Him of my Father, no man can even come to me. That's what He said. He said, except my Father, with that sent me, draw him, he cannot come. And I tell you what, bless His holy name, Joseph filled the storehouses so people that was hungry could get something to eat. And our Lord Jesus Christ came and became our surety, became our sin offering. I was reading just today or yesterday, they came to John and said, who are you? I'm not the Christ. Are you the Christ? No. Are you that prophet? No. No. Who are you? I'm just sent to bear witness of the light. I'm just sent to tell you about Him. And then he saw him. Because God said that when you see that person that you baptized and the Holy Spirit coming down upon him in the form of a dove, you'll know that's the one. And I tell you what, when that happened, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. John went off preaching. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ came walking down by Jordan one day, and John said, look, and he said, told him, some disciples was walking with him, said, there's that Lamb of God. There's that Lamb of God. What's a lamb for? To be a sacrifice. What's a lamb for? To be slain. What's a lamb for? To save sinners. What's a lamb for? God provided for him. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ was led as a lamb before the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. And he became our sin offering. And oh, that's what he was. That's why he was the Lamb of God. To be our sin offering. We need a sin offering. I need a sin offering. And he did it. So that sinners for whom he died might be saved. Gabriel, you know what Gabriel told Mary? She said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know what that means? Jehovah Savior. Jehovah our Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he. He shall save his people from their sin. But he couldn't do it unless he became their sin offering. And oh my. And he came, not for the whole, but for the sick. And I tell you what, listen to this. To have kept the storehouses closed in a time of famine would have brought no glory to Joseph and certainly wouldn't have done any good to the people. He had plenty. Oh, he had plenty. But if he had kept it to himself, he had got no glory and nobody had any good. But he had plenty. And he delighted to open them storehouses open them storehouses, and folks lining up, coming to get something to eat, coming to get some bread. And our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, His storehouse is open. It's so open. Old John Bunyan said, God has bags of mercy He's not yet broke on. Our Lord is plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy. Delights to show mercy. And you know what His chief glory is? Moses said, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. Oh, Father, show God, show me Your glory. And He told Moses, He said, oh, there's a cleft here in the rock. I'm going to put you in and put my hand over you. Because all you can see is my hand apart. And the Scripture said, and He caused all the goodness of God to pass before. That's God's chief attribute. Goodness. You ever run across anybody God not been good to? God's been good to every human being that's been born on this earth. He's good to the animals. He's good to the birds. I love to listen to these birds sing. I'll tell Shirley, you know, one will sing this way, another sing that way, another sing this. And I said, God gave every one of these birds a song to sing. And He gave them all the notes and gave them the songs to sing. And that's what I, when I hear them, that's exactly what I think. Oh, sang birds sing. You know why they sang? God gave them a song to sing. You know why we sang? God gave us a song to sing. You know why we praise Him? God gave us something to praise Him about. You know why we bless Him? He gave us something to bless Him for. And oh, He's plenteous in mercy. And I tell you what, He delights. He just delights and joys showing mercy. And His goodness, oh, His goodness passes before us. And He said, and you know, He stood on that great day of the feast and He said, if any man's thirsty, let him come and drink. And you know, the only people who came was people who was thirsty. Scott used to say that all the time. He said, if there's ever a promise, and God gave a promise, you had to meet the qualities and character of that promise. He said, oh, anybody's thirsty, come to Me. You know who didn't come? People who weren't thirsty. That's all the people didn't come. But everybody else that was thirsty, they lined up. They lined up. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, He opened up the door of mercy. He opened up the grace of mercy. He opened up everything for us. And I tell you, Joseph opened the storehouses at the right time, at a fit time. Look what it says there in verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Oh, they're crying for bread. Cried out for bread. Oh, my. And you know what he said? Go to Joseph. And what he says to you, that's what you do. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ said to his mother at the wedding of Cana. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And I tell you, that's what he said. And so Joseph, when they went to crying for bread, when the people cried for bread, that's when Joseph says, time to open the storehouses. Time to open the storehouses. And everybody that was hungry would be fed. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who's hungry can come to Christ. And I tell you what, I don't know about you all, but I stay hungry. I really do. I stay hungry. And I know a lot of the folks there that I'm preaching to tonight and with you all here, they're all hungry to be in the services. They're all hungry to come to hear the gospel. They're all hungry to come and be with the Lord's people. I know they are. And our Lord Jesus Christ said it like this, or Paul told the Romans, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. And I tell you what, God has made a way for sinners to be saved and for bread from heaven to be given to us. And I tell you this, and I'm about done here. Joseph opened the storehouses to all who came. To all who came. Now let's look here in verse 57. Oh my. He opened the storehouses to all the Egyptians. And then all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for corn, because all the famine was sore in all the land. All the land. And Joseph opened the storehouse to everyone that came. Everyone that came. It didn't make no difference who it was. Not to the Egyptians only, but all nations came to Joseph. Huh? All nations came to Joseph. And our Lord Jesus Christ opens the storehouse of grace to Jew and Gentile, male and female, bond and free. Joseph opened the storehouse and said, I don't like your looks. I ain't going to give you nothing. No. Joseph was just like our master, no respect of persons. If he was hungry, he came. And our Lord Jesus Christ opened the storehouses of his grace to Jew and Gentile. Male and didn't you know there's no distinction in God's sight in these things? Bond or free, if you're a servant or a free man. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus said in Revelation 21:22-17, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, come unto me. Oh, come unto me. And as the famine is universal, I mean, there's no place on the face of the earth that you can go where there's not famine. Where there's not famine. I'm talking about the famine of depravity. Famine of man. And that famine is all over the earth. And the command in the gospel is the same all over the earth. It's as universal as sin is. As men being in an awful famine condition. And I tell you what, and we're commanded to preach to all men everywhere to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what they said? He is able. He is able. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God. How? By Him. And I tell you what, do you know what that means? Once he starts, he ain't going to stop. Once he starts, he ain't going to stop. Ain't you grateful for that? Old Bruce Crabtree wrote a little article. I need to put it in one of our bulletins. He wrote a little article. I can't mess it up. And that's the way it is with this. We can't mess it up. If we could have messed it up, it'd been messed up years ago. Ain't that right? But you can't mess up something that God did. You can't mess up a salvation that Christ accomplished. You can't mess up a salvation of the Lord. Now you can mess up a fellow's free will religion. You can mess up people's holiness. You can mess up people's professions. But you can't mess up salvation. Can't mess it up. And I'm thankful. And folks, I love you and appreciate you. And listen, we got six here tonight. And if you want to come Sunday and got plenty of room for everybody to scatter out a little bit. But it was such a blessing to have them all here tonight and look at them while I'm preaching. And God bless every one of you. Stay safe. And we pray for you. And let's have prayer together. Our Father, our precious, precious Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you and praise you for being so merciful, to being so gracious, to being so good to us. Oh, you're indeed good to Israel, good to your people, good to your people. good to them like you're good to all men, but Lord, you're especially good to the household of faith. And God, bless these dear saints that gathered out tonight. Bless these dear saints that listen. Encourage them. We pray for Don. We pray for Shelby. God, have mercy on them. Give them abundance of grace for this very trying time. Bless you for Joe and Bruce, and pray you keep your hand on them. And Lord, bless us, keep us till we can all meet together again. Oh Lord, what a day it'll be just to be able to gather again in a worship service with all the saints. We praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Good night, and God bless you.